you'd like to ask me, and I'll spend an hour in explaining it to you. What would you ask him? You know, probably all of us would ask him something different. It is something that really bothers you. I don't know what you would ask, but I'd ask for that hour for God to explain to me all the difficulties that I see about prayer. Now, that may come as a real shock to you. I have more books on the subject of prayer than any other topic, and I know less about prayer probably than I do any other subject. It's probably the greatest theme of devotional books that has ever been written and ever will be written. Immediately after somebody is won to Christ, we tell them three duties. We call these the holy duties, the holy habits. Go to church, read your Bible, and pray. Well, anybody that can read can go home and read the Bible. Anybody who can walk or drive a car can go to church. Now, that's not difficult to do, even in your own steam. But, you know, when you tell somebody to pray, you're not asking them to do something they know how to do already. You already know how to read, and you already know how to follow street signs, open doors, and sit down in a chair. You already know how to do that. But you don't know how to pray as an unsaved man, and everyone just assumes when you become a Christian, automatically you're going to know how it's done. And then if you're like me, and this tonight's going to be sort of a little personal testimony to you, and I hope it doesn't come as a real shock to you, but I'm not by myself now. I used to think, well, if I talk this way, people are going to think I'm awful. But I've been talking to a lot of preachers and a lot of real spiritual men, and I have found I'm not unique, and I'm not strange, and I'm not weird. But I'm common in the way I'm thinking about this. I've talked to missionaries, and I find that I'm in the majority. And maybe you're a little bit different, and that's wonderful, but let me say you're in the minority, and I'm in the majority. And so I know there'll be some tonight that can identify with me and feel as I do. Now, from my own experience and from the experience of talking to other people who are Christians, I find that there's great difficulty in making prayer work. Now, anyone can pray, but can you make it work? That is, can you get the answers that you ask for? If I write for Sizzling Roebuck Catalog an item and say, I want a chainsaw, and they send me a bucket, you know, now let's be face it, folks. I'll take the bucket back. I didn't want the bucket. Now, in prayer, if you ask for something, are you able to get it? Can you make prayer work? I want to say to you, I have a hard time making prayer work. And a lot of people don't mind admitting that they have a hard time understanding the Bible. They'll tell you, I don't understand it. It's a difficult thing. And then a lot of people say, I don't enjoy going to church. They don't even mind admitting that to you. I don't get a lot out of going to church. But I don't hear many Christians say anything about their prayer life. Whether they find it easy or hard, whether they do it a lot, or whether they do it a little. They just sort of keep that a secret from you. They don't want to talk about their prayer life. They'll say, oh, I pray. Now, they may just pray, Lord, I lay me down to sleep. Amen. But they may be able to say, I pray. Or, good morning, God, bless me, amen. You see, we can say we pray, and really that would not be prayer, would it? You're not going to get much accomplished that way. And we all assume that every Christian prays daily. Some prays three times a day. We assume that Christians find it simple to pray. If all you're going to say is, Lord, bless me, bless the world, and bless my family, amen, yes, it is really simple. If that's all you're going to do. I mean, if that's all your prayer consists of, then it will always be a very simple thing. Again, we assume that Christians know what to pray for. Do you ever get lost for words when you pray? Do you ever find yourself repeating the same statement you said 2 minutes ago because you're just lost for words? You don't know what to say. We just assume that when Christians pray, they're all getting fantastic results. And yet it's a rare thing in our morning service for somebody to give a testimony of answered prayer. I mean, we pray every Sunday morning, and maybe three or four times out of the year somebody says, well, we got one answered. You know, and it's back and say, well, the prayer was answered. Sometimes we have a prayer answered, but most of the time we just keep asking, and nobody, all getting fantastic results. I think we assume too much, and we're afraid to talk about it. And if the truth was known, probably most Christians would stop serious praying long before they would stop ignoring the Bible and going to church. You have a lot of folks that still read the Bible, go to Sunday school class, study the Bible, and who attend church who have long ago quit praying. I mean, really praying. We confess a lot of our sins to each other, but we dare not mention the sin of prayerlessness because that brings too much embarrassment, and we dare not let folks know that we're having trouble in our prayer life. I want to say to you, I believe most Christians have trouble in their prayer life, unless you're really unusual. You've got problems in that area. We have the idea, well, nobody will understand if I tell them the truth. And so they don't admit that they're having failures in this matter of making prayer work. Now, that's the whole point of prayer. You make it work. You get results. Or otherwise, it just becomes a mental exercise you go through of which there is no real benefit. Then I find there are many exaggerated claims being made by a lot of preachers, which filters on down to the layman. And I meet some of these laymen, and I hear this statement on the television. There's a particular program that really talks about this every time you turn it on. It's on every night. And I'm not going to say what program it is. But it's Matthew 18:19. Now, you may know what it is. I don't know whether you're quoting it to people or not, but I find problems with this text. I don't mind telling you. And I want to be honest in dealing with Scripture. Now, Matthew 18:19 says, and I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. When I was putting together the chorus book that we now sing out of, I visited one of the people that used to live across the street from us. They still live there then, they don't now. Another friend of mine, Roy Glasscock, happened to be friends of this individual. She was a lady, and she at that time was going through divorce proceedings with her husband. And she brought up this scripture. Well, Roy Glasscock, who was a preacher, and I have agreed that this divorce not take place and that my husband and I be reconciled. And since we have agreed, and it's according to the promise here, we're going to get what we ask. Well, I don't have to tell you what happened. She is divorced, though they agreed. And as far as I'm concerned, I said, that blows your theory sky high. I know what the Scripture says, but somewhere in that text, we're misreading it. If you're coming up with all you have to do is get two folks agree on earth as to what ought to be done, and God will do it. I remember Dave Graffenberger, whose little girl had brain tumor. He didn't just get two to agree. He probably had 2,000 people agreeing that God ought to heal the girl and that she ought to be well. He even had a Baptist preacher come to him and tell him, God told him the girl be healed. She's dead today. She died on her birthday of a brain tumor. Now, folks, I like to face facts. And you can tell all you want to agree, but I want to see your results. And I don't want to see you hit it right once out of every 5,000 agreements. If this is a law and a principle under which God operates, then what you ought to do when you pray is go out and find somebody to agree with you that that's what ought to be given to you. And then you got it guaranteed. It doesn't work that way. And you know it, and I know it. Now, I don't know what that text means, but I can tell you from experience, it doesn't mean that all you have to do is get somebody else to agree with you in prayer, and you've got a cinch and a guarantee of the promise being given. I'd say it doesn't mean that. So I don't buy that easy type of exaggerated promise of prayer. It's not right. And I want to say to those people that preach it, you can't make it work either. All right? I think too many people are saying things that prayer will accomplish that it won't accomplish. We're exaggerating too much untruth regarding the subject of prayer. I believe it's one of the most confused things in the minds of most Christians. They have no idea whatsoever they're dealing with in prayer. And I'll be honest with you, I'm trying to make a study of it. Now, again, I said something for the first time, again, I've gone through this for 20 years and I still can't master it. I don't understand it. And I talk to missionaries and they don't either. This is a real difficult subject which I'm taking up on Sunday night. I don't know where we'll go again, but I'll try it one more time. Now, John 14:13 is another one that people like to quote. John 14:13. I'll be there in just a second. Y'all hold on for me. All right. John 14:13. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. Now, you've asked a lot of things. I pray for folks to get saved, marriages to be healed, people to be changed, and nothing happened. Now, maybe that never has happened to you. If it hasn't, you haven't done much variety of praying. If you just say, Lord, bless the sun today, you know that's so vague, you're not going to get much pinned down that way anyway. But if you get sort of specific, then we ought to see some results if John 14:13 can be taken at face value, which I don't believe it can. There is something that I'd like to ask Jesus about John 14:13. Would you explain to me, Jesus, what you really mean? Now, I don't want to make prayer so complicated and so involved and so restrictive that you end up nobody can pray and expect an answer. That's the two extremes you can go to. You can ask anything and get everything, or you can have so many restrictions and so many conditions that everybody is disqualified. So we want to try to hit a happy medium in our study. Practical experience has proven to you and to me that there's more to prayer than just asking for something and getting it. There's just more to it than that. Now, I believe we have to face the failures that we have in prayer and all the unanswered requests and honestly admit prayer is not as simple as folks make it out to be. And I don't think too many people are accomplishing a great deal and getting their desires through prayer as you might think they are. And I've heard a number of people who are Christians turn away from prayer saying, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and it didn't do a bit of good. I'm through with praying. And they were sincere people. They too were confused about prayer. And we must not turn in anger at people who are distressed like this, but must try to understand as best as we can, what does the Bible say about prayer? How do you pray? And what do you pray for? And why do you pray for it? And what can be accomplished through it? We need to understand that. There is another real confusion that I think is very closely related, and that concerns the question of praise. Both of these subjects are very intertwined, and there's great confusion today in the church over both issues. Now, I believe the first real issue that we need to settle and keep reminding ourselves of regarding prayer is that it does accomplish things. Now, we must keep that in our mind. It does accomplish things. And that according to the Scripture, and I think regarding prayer, it's just like anything else that the Christian deals with, it must be done by faith. According to the Scriptures, prayer is important. According to the Scriptures, prayer must be considered a commandment of the Lord, just as any other commandment. And we should treat it as such. If it's important that I not steal, it's important that I pray. It is a commandment. It's not a suggestion for me to use as an option It's not a mental exercise I can go through and find peace of mind and release in my conscience. But it is important and essential for my life. You say, well, if it doesn't work, why is it important? Let's forget about the aspect now. It doesn't work. First of all, it is important. And if it is important, it does work. All right? Look at Luke 6:12. We'll not be able to go too much further tonight. Luke 6:12. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus went out into a mountain to pray. And he prayed all night. That tells me something. Prayer is important, or Jesus wouldn't have done it all night. There are not many things I'll do all night long, you know. And you either have to work shift work all night, you have to do it. And it's important that you go to work and you make a living. But now, Jesus prayed all night. It must have been pretty important to do that, to lose sleep over. Now, Jesus says we are to follow in his footsteps, that we are to be like him, and we are to have the mind of Christ, and surely the mind of Christ was convinced prayer was very vital and very important. I'd like to ask Jesus, what did you pray for all night long? Did it take you all night to get the answer? Now, it seems that after this all-night prayer session, he was able to pick his 12 apostles. Did it take him all night to get 12 names? These are questions I just like to ask Jesus. And did you keep on saying all night long, who are they? Who are they? Who are they? Who are? What did you do? How did you talk to God all night about this one thing? Fill me in. What did you talk about? The only prayer we have of Jesus is John the 17th chapter. You can read that at home. That's the only one. All right? Look at Luke 18:1. Luke 18:1. Jesus spoke a parable unto them that men ought always to pray. And notice those next few words. And not faint. Now that tells you something right there, that prayer is not going to be easy. That you're going to have a tendency to give in, give up, and quit. And Jesus says here, men ought always to pray and not quit. Even though they feel justified, even though they feel tired, don't quit. Why? It must be important. By example and by teaching, Jesus said prayer is important. Then one more, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Paul said, pray without ceasing. Verse 25, brethren, pray for us. Now tonight I said to you, pray for me. What would you pray? Would you go home and say, God, bless Billy? That took care of that. You know, why do you pray for somebody? Now, Paul said, brethren, pray for us. Now, somebody could say, well, Paul, pray for yourself. Yeah, what do you want me to pray for you for? You got a mouth, and you have the same God that I have, pray for yourself. You mean you can't pray for yourself? Paul said, sure, I'm praying for myself. Well, what do you want me to pray for you? Handle your own problems with your own God in your own prayer line. Don't ask me to pray for you. I think Paul was saying here, yes, but I will get some things from God that I'll only get if you pray. And I won't get it if you don't pray. I don't care how much I pray. My life depends a lot on your prayers for me. I'd like to ask Jesus about that, too. I'd like to ask him, is it true that I can, in my own prayers, get some things that other folks could get for me if they pray? Or is it just that I wouldn't think of some of the things to ask for that others praying for me would think to ask for? Is that what you mean? Or back to the original question, I can't pray down blessings, all the blessings that I can have by myself? Do I have to have somebody else to pray to get all the blessings? Undoubtedly, I think the latter category is what Paul was talking about. He was saying, brethren, pray for us because we can't do it without your help. And that makes prayer awful powerful and awful important, because that means some of the showers of blessings that God has destined for me, I can't have unless you'll pray and give them to me. Is that right? I'd like to ask Jesus about that. But if it is, that sure puts a lot more pressure on me to pray for you. and be a lot more specific than this Lord bless him, there are a lot of questions I have about prayer. But the first thing I want to impress upon my mind once again and yours is that no matter how many questions you have, it is important. And there is a value to prayer that reaches beyond our comprehension. And I don't know exactly how much value there is to it, but we're going to examine that as the Sunday nights come. Father, we're thankful tonight that we have examples of our own that prove prayer works. And we have examples in the Bible of men who pray and made prayer work. And we know from testimonies of others that many great things have come about because of prayer. So this night, if there are those who are discouraged and perplexed about prayer, may we just first of all realize, keep on, because it is important, and it will accomplish something. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.